Acts chapter 26, the verses were 24 through 29 that were read into our hearing. These verses has to do with Paul standing and making his case before King Agrippa. Paul discussed some things with Festus in Acts chapter 25. Festus couldn't find anything to really charge Paul with, and Paul appealed to Caesar, and he says to Caesar, thou must go. But he wanted King Agrippa to have an audience with Paul so that he might have something to send along with Paul when he goes before Caesar, some kind of letter that he could write with some charges. But even when that meeting took place, he had nothing to send along with Paul. But these verses paint a grim picture to us. When Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And we know the scripture closes with him not obeying the gospel. In essence, what Agrippa said to Paul at that particular time was no. I believe, but no. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How sad to believe and still say no. Our God, who loves us all, did a marvelous thing when he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for our sins. It is not his will that anyone be lost, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. So he calls upon all to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. But not only believe, but couple that belief with obedience. It's one thing to believe, but it's another thing to obey. This scripture that was read this morning points that out. One would think that if people truly believe, this would necessarily translate itself into obedience. But that's not the case. There are cases in the Word of God that shows this is not always the case. And one such case we read about this morning. I want to talk about it near the end of my lesson. But there are a couple of other cases that I want us to look at first that shows that some people, having full knowledge of who Jesus was and having full knowledge of what his gospel was all about, they believe, but they still said no. How sad it is to believe and still say no. The first case I want to look at this morning is in John chapter 12. The Bible says this in John chapter 12 and verse number 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. This scripture teaches us again that in spite of the many miracles that Jesus did in the presence of the people, there were many of them that did not believe. To create belief and obedience, of course, in belief in our Lord and obedience to his will was the very purpose of miracles. John 20 and verse 30 and 31, I'm sure we perhaps are familiar with those passages, said that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these that are written, they are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life through his name. So miracles had their intended purpose of causing people to believe in Jesus Christ. But yet the scripture says here that in spite of all of these miracles that were done, there were many that did not believe. Why? Because they had hearts that were hard and they had eyes that were blind. But while there were many who did not believe, the Bible goes on and talks about that there were many chief rulers who did believe. In John chapter 12, and verse number 42. The Bible says this, nevertheless, or beside this, he talked about those who did not believe, but he says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many did what? Believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. This is a case where there were some folks among the chief rulers, the Bible says, believed on Jesus Christ, but yet they said no. Saying no is equivalent to not confessing him. They believed on Jesus, but the Bible says they did not confess him. Why? Because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. When you and I this morning fail to do the will of God because we are seeking the praise of men, or we are concerned about what position that's going to put us in, it is the same as saying no to God. Though we may even be members of the body of Christ, but when we fail to live and to do what God has taught us to do, we are in essence saying no, even though we believe. Here are these chief rulers again. They believed on the Lord, but they still said no to him. They still would not confess him. They still would not receive the wonderful blessings that he could bless them with because they were afraid of being put out of the synagogue, and they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. My brothers and my sisters this morning, my friends and my neighbors this morning, we must stop worrying about the praises of men, the approval of men. Sometimes people are worried about the approval of their neighbors, their friends, their schoolmates, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, their wife, their husband, their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, their employer. We must be concerned about pleasing God, saying yes to God, because when we are so concerned about all of these others that I've named, and this concern leads us to go against or not confess, not give obedience to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it is the same as saying no to God. Though, again, we may be members of the body of Christ, just like these chief rulers, they were God's folk. Do you hear me? They were God's folk. The Jews were God's chosen people. These chief rulers, this was before the church began, yes. But they were God's chosen people, and they believed on Jesus, but yet they said no to him. It's a dangerous thing to say no to Jesus. You see, when you try to please men, you'll never please men all the time. Because one day man may want one thing from you, and the next day he may want something else from you, and the next day he wants something altogether different. So you'll find yourself running round and round in circles trying to please man. Man is too fickle. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we please him today, do the same thing, we'll please him tomorrow. Do the same thing he requires of us to do, we'll please him next year. But you'll find yourself never being able to please man. As a matter of fact, if you try to please man, Paul says you won't be a servant of Christ. Notice what he says in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 10, he says, "For do I now persuade men, or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men," he says, "I should not be a servant of Christ." And this is what these chief rulers were trying to do. They were trying to please men so that they wouldn't get kicked out of the synagogue. Therefore, they were not a servant of the Lord. They failed to confess them. I say to us today, make sure that we confess the Lord by doing his will. And if it takes displeasing the person that's closest to you, go ahead and displease them and please God. Because in the end, that's what's going to count. Whether we have pleased God or not, that will be the determining factor as to whether he'll say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So these rulers, they believed in Jesus, but yet they said no. Now somebody says that you named all of those people about who you have to displease, or if you're going to please God, do you have any book, chapter, and verse for that, Frank? Oh, yes, I do. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Some familiar passages, I'm sure, to most of us. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32 beginning. The Bible says, "Whosoever thou shalt, therefore, shall confess me before men." Remember again, these chief rulers, they fail to confess him. He said, "Therefore, whosoever would confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." He goes on and he says, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see what the Bible says? Can't we see then how we need to put God first? How we need to put the Lord first? But these chief rulers were not willing to do that. They were concerned again about pleasing their fellow, I don't know whether there's such word as this, but I'll just say it anyway, their fellow synagogueans. They didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They were concerned about pleasing their cohorts in the synagogue. And they were concerned about the praise of man. So many times, people who believe in Jesus, people who are members even of the body of Christ, know that the Lord says, do a certain thing, live a certain way. But because they may get all kind of pressure from their peers, or even from their family, sometimes even from their church members, they'd rather disobey God. So in essence, you know what they're doing? They're saying no, even though they believe. So I say to us this morning, let's not fall into that category of saying no when we believe. And then there's another case. In Acts chapter 7, there was a man by the name of Stephen. And the Bible says there, and we won't read all of that this morning, but the Bible says that Stephen, he was accused, of course, of not really, if I can sum it up, of really not preaching and teaching the truth. He was accused. And of course, they couldn't prove that, so they brought some false witnesses. And they testified falsely against him, and so they brought him to the council. And then he began to make his defense. And he talked about how, to briefly sum up what that chapter was talking about, he briefly talks about how these people with wicked hands, they had killed the prophets, and now they had killed the Son of God. But even, he talked about, the Son of God had been resurrected. So basically what he was doing, he was preaching the gospel, preaching the very same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. But you know what happened to him? They killed him for it. Why did they kill him for it? Because they knew he was telling the truth. They, in essence, believed in what he was saying, but they were not willing to obey the will of God. And so the Bible says they ran on him and they gnashed their teeth and they stoned him to death. But there is a statement that is made in that chapter, which is basically the same statement that is made in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 7, the Bible says they were cut to their hearts. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. What's the difference in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 7? The ones in Acts chapter 2, when they were cut to their heart, they believed and they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 2 and verse number 41, the Bible says, those that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added to them about 3,000 souls. The same gospel saved those people. The same gospel would have saved the people that Stephen was talking to, but they said no. How sad it is to believe and still say no. Again, I'm saying to us, brothers and sisters, don't reject the word of God. These accusers, if you will, they rejected his word. Look at again what the Bible says. We will look at a few verses in Acts chapter 7, verse 54. The Bible says, when they heard these things, and I've already talked about it, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Then verse number 57, the Bible says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. For the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And the Bible says he died or he fell asleep. What's the point? The point, again, is that these people believed what Stephen was saying, but they did not obey. They killed him. They said no. How sad it is to say no when you believe. They could have repented, just like the people did on the day of Pentecost. They could have repented, but they chose not to. They chose to go another route and not confess
or not say no,
or not say yes, rather, to the gospel of Christ. I would say to us this morning, don't say no to the gospel of Christ. It's the only thing that can save you. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Don't turn a deaf ear to the gospel of Christ. Now we come down to our scripture text of this morning. King Agrippa, when he had this audience with the Apostle Paul, King Agrippa was told this along with Festus being in the audience also. Paul related to him, when you read the whole 26th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul related to him from his childhood all the way up to where he was then. And he talked about the fact of how he was a staunch Pharisee and how he was persecuting Christians. But he was doing it out of all good conscience. But then he related his conversion story, how he was going along the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and how this bright light had shined upon him. And he heard this voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, I said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. He related his conversion story. And then he said to him, King Agrippa, I wasn't disobedient to this heavenly vision. In other words, I obeyed what the Lord wanted me to do. And he said that he was going to send me to the Gentiles and going to preach to the Gentiles so that they could be saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said that Jesus was killed, Jesus was buried, and Jesus was resurrected. Now that gets us down to the point of the scriptures that was read. After having said all of that, what did Festus say? Much learning has made thee mad. But then the Bible says this again. Paul said, King Agrippa, the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded, he says, that none of these things were done in a corner. None of these things were done in secret. King Agrippa, you know about this. In verse number 3 of chapter 26, he said the king was an expert in the customs and the laws and the questions of the Jews. He knew about the prophets. So he asked him this question. King Agrippa, he says, believest thou the prophets? Paul, through his guidance of the Holy Spirit, knew he believed. And he says, I know you believe. No doubt about it. You're familiar with those prophets that talked about Jesus dying, about him being buried, about him being resurrected. You're familiar with that. I know you believe. But then look at what King Agrippa says again. He says what? Basically, he says, yes, I do believe, but I'm not going to obey and become a Christian. He just said this statement, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are so many people, perhaps, that are almost persuaded. But to be almost persuaded and not totally persuaded is the same as saying no to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I say to us again this morning, as Paul would say to King Agrippa, he says, King Agrippa, I would to God that not only thou, but also all those that hear me this day, will both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these bonds or in these chains. So basically what he was saying, I would to God that everybody that was listening to me this day, including you, King Agrippa, would say yes to God. But you are saying no, even though you believe, because you're an expert in this stuff. You know this stuff. You read the prophets. You know what they said. You know how Isaiah said that they made his grave with the wicked. That's his burial. You know how Isaiah says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. That's his crucifixion. You know how David says, thou shalt not leave thy soul in hell, neither will I suffer thine holy one to see corruption. That's his resurrection. On the day of Pentecost, Peter explained that in Acts chapter 2. He says, David was looking down the stream of time, and he was not talking about himself, but he was talking about the Son of God. So, King Agrippa, you are acquainted, you are familiar, you know about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I know you believe. King Agrippa says, no, I'm not going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I say again to us today, don't just believe, but believe and obey. Yes, indeed, we need to believe the gospel. We need to believe what Jesus has taught us in his book, the Bible, the New Testament. We need to believe it, yes, but we need to also obey it. You see, because belief is not enough by itself. If we just believe and don't follow through and obey the will of God, we are the same as folks that we accuse of believing in faith, believing in the doctrine of faith only. But James says, faith without works is what? Dead, being alone. So we must not only just have faith, we must not only just believe, but we must couple it with works, with obedience. How about you this morning? Are you just believing? Are you going to couple that belief with obedience? The chief rulers didn't couple it with obedience. Those in Stephen's day didn't couple it with obedience. King Agrippa didn't couple his belief with obedience. What about you this morning? What about me this morning? What about us this morning? Are we going to couple our belief with obedience? Are we going to stand before God just having believed and not having obeyed the will of God through a daily walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We'll hear the same words that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 25 when he talked about those on the right and those on the left. Those on the left, he says, what? Depart from me. Those on the right, he says, come ye blessed of my Father. What do you want to hear? I know what you want to hear. You want to hear him say, come ye blessed of my Father. But if we've just gone through life just believing, just being a member of the church, but really not coupling our belief with a daily walk, with a daily obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we're no better than Agrippa. We're no better than the chief rulers. We're no better than those in the audience of Stephen. They believed, yes, but they still said no. When we go back to the chief rulers, that context of the scripture, as Jesus went on to explain in that scripture, further on down, not long after he talked about these rulers that did not confess him, he said in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word has one that judges him. For the words that I have spoken unto you, the same shall judge you in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the one that sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. That's in the context of those chief rulers who did not confess to him. They rejected him. They said no. And Jesus said, you're going to be judged by the very words that I've spoken unto you. So I'm saying again, I'm appealing to all of us. Don't reject the teaching of Jesus. Don't reject the Word of God. Confess it through a daily walk in your life. Don't just believe, but couple your belief with obedience. So when girlfriend says to boyfriend to do something wrong, who are you going to go with? Are you going to go with Jesus? Are you going to go with boyfriend or girlfriend? When mama, when daddy says to son, to daughter, do something wrong, who are you going to go with? Are you going with them? Are you going to go with Jesus? Even a preacher says to do something wrong, who are you going to go with? Go with Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying don't just believe. Don't just be satisfied with just believing. But couple your belief with obedience so that you'll hear him say, well done. How sad it is, brothers and sisters, to believe and still say no. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. Paul says, I would to God that all that hear me this day would not only be almost persuaded, but altogether as I am, except in these bonds. So don't just be almost, be altogether. You know how they said, almost only count in horseshoes. But this is not a game of horseshoes. When we're talking about a relationship with our God, it's not a game of horseshoes. So we need to make sure that we not only just believe, but we need to obey the will of God. If you're here then this morning, and you're subject to the call of the gospel, as you look back over your life and you realize that you have not lived up to God's standards, then you're in the same category as these chief rulers who did not confess it. You're in the same category as those in Stephen's day who gnashed upon him and who killed him. You're in the same category as King Agrippa. If you're not living up to his standards, even though you may be a child of God, you're just believing, but you're saying no to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have not begun your walk with God, I want to encourage you this morning to say yes to Jesus. If there's anybody you ought to say yes to, it's Jesus. Because he came from heaven and he gave his life upon the cross that you and I might have a right to eternal life. Believe in Jesus then as the Son of God. Repent, turn away from your past sins. Make that good confession that you do believe that he is the Son of God. And then go down in a watery grave of baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Come forth from that water of grave baptism, continuing to say yes to Jesus by obeying his will each and every day. Do it until you die. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. You're already a member, but somehow again, as you look at your life and you realize that you have been saying no to Jesus because you've been going along with what somebody else wants you to do rather than what Jesus wants you to do. I want to encourage you this morning to turn away from that thought process and get back into the vein of saying that I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do, even if I lose all my friends, even if my family members walk away from me. No matter what it takes, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. Because in that last and final day, we're going to stand before Jesus. We're not going to stand before family. We're not going to stand before friends. We're not going to stand before co-worker. We're not going to stand before even the enemies. We're going to stand before Jesus. And I want to hear him say, well done, don't you? So we need to say yes to Jesus. King Agrippa again, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Paul says, that's really not good enough. You need to be all together. You need to say yes to Jesus and no to everything else that opposes Jesus. So do you need to come and obey the Lord this morning? Would you come? We're pleading with you. while the blood is running warm in your veins, will you come? Come to our Lord. Obey him this morning while we stand, while we sing. A sweat. Almost persuaded, I still will be. Would you come this morning? Would you come?